The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Gotham Undercover. This is episode 85.
Mm-hmm.
Five. That's a lot of episodes. We are here, and we are part... Oh, I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
Mm-hmm. And this week we were talking about That's Entertainment. And we had a cool kind of duo here on the writer-director. We had Gotham EP Danny Cannon writing and Nick Coppas, I guess is how you say his name, who's done work on Gotham, Arrow, and Siren. So some good team-up work there.
Yeah. He needs to maybe work again on Arrow because Arrow needs some buffing up.
Because of a long meeting I didn't get to see last night. So,
Lucky.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the whole episode through all the way, but Arrow is not my favorite show at the moment.
Yeah.
But Gotham, however, is up there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Way up there.
Especially the last two episodes. Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, that being said, I'm going to give it 9 ill-conceived music festivals, because who would put on a music festival in Gotham? Really?
Yes.
Let's get all these people together in one place in Gotham.
Well, okay. I'm just, before I give my rating, I just had to do a, I was watching the episode, and I just had to pause and write down.
It said
Gotham's best bands, and you listen to the names: Cannon Fodder, Gothic Chic, The Zaps, Kneebuster, Electric Eddie, Slim Slam Slum, Danger Danger, and Hangman's Noose. I mean, if these are the best bands in Gotham, oh my goodness.
I know, that's amazing. That is amazing.
So, yeah. But my rating was 9 Jokers in the box.
Excellent. I wonder if Andy would call any of those names. No. Band name called it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe Kneebuster.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Kneebuster. Yeah. That might be the only name.
Yeah.
Because the other ones I can't. Gothic Chic, no. Definitely not. Electric Eddie, no.
No.
Slim Slum Slum, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's the only other one I was thinking, maybe.
Yeah. But some of the ones he had in that episode where he was naming off all the names that they used to be.
Oh.
Oh, man. Scarecrow Boat. We used to be Rat Mouse. Oh, my God. Oh, so funny. Oh,
gosh.
So, yeah. But it reminds me of that when you read off all those names. So, and again, great segue, because I'm going to go into our story titles. And just because you and I are such huge Parks and Rec fans,
mm-hmm.
because that is one of the best shows ever. And I am not kidding. I mean, that is, if you haven't seen Parks and Rec, I mean, the comedy writing on that show is bar none.
Mm-hmm.
It's so subtle that sometimes you won't get a joke until you've seen it like 3 times. And you're like, wait a minute, that just got passed. So my A storyline is Un-Unity Concert. And then in parentheses, where were the Bobby Knight Rangers? They sang Sister Christian like 30 times in a row. Didn't they? Wasn't
yeah,
that
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Okay, and then the B story would be Mustang Arang.
A.K.A. the Batmobile 1.0.
Right. Or 0.5.
Yeah, there you go.
Although it was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit. And it was definitely product placement because they showed that little Mustang symbol every time they could.
Well, I'm like, you know, I just laugh because, you know, we're looking at the dial phones and the flip phones, and he opens it up the case and it's a remote start, you know, and it's a brand new Mustang. I had to call, I had to message Wayne Henderson to say, check it out, because he's Mr. Mustang. But yeah, the brand new, product placement. Yeah.
I'm a Mustang person, too. I love Mustangs. It's probably my favorite make of car. Muscle car, you know, back in the 70s, 80s era, too. Boy, that was such a great car. But even the ones today are slick.
Mm.
And that one looked great. I loved the matte finish. I wanted to get out a piece of chalk and write my name on it somewhere. Because it looked like a chalkboard. But okay. And then my C story is Turnpot. Cobblepot. And he was a turncoat. So, you know, you smash it together and you get Turnpot.
There you go.
So, on Unity Concert. And that's just going to be the name for our main story, which, of course, is, Jerome. Jerome, where is he going to get all these people together to make the city crazy? Going to get a battle of the bands together.
Yeah, I mean, very smart move. You know, he's we learn later that he's had his he was expecting, you know, trouble, so he had his guys scouting out the best sniper points.
Yep.
The guy is a good planner. I mean, we hear it from Cobblepot in this episode that he only gives people pieces of the information. And so there is a very much a method to his madness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that thwarted a lot of the stuff that the cops were doing. I mean, Bruce went to Jeremiah and said, I trust Jim Gordon that he'll keep me safe. And that was a very big leap of faith because once they got there,
I mean,
things did not go that well.
But I tell you, you can tell Danny Cannon was writing this episode.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because of that speech that he gives to Jeremiah, I'm like, that is huge talking about, listen. Jim, you know, Captain Gordon and Mr. Fox are going to keep me safe, but if they don't, I'm standing up and teaching, you know, people to stand up to the terror, to fight it. He was encouraging Jeremiah, and I love that speech. There were so many speeches in this episode that the dialogue was just so spot on, and to hear him share that with Jeremiah, his interactions with Jeremiah and his interest in the power production and wanting to give a grant to kind of help with that. This really felt like Bruce being mature and standing up for what Gotham needs. And I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I agree. And no one was out of character, which was a huge thing. Oswald goes to James Gordon and he is desperate, and he is like the old Cobblepot, you know, I got to go and I got to give you information, and he scares me, but I don't have the info that you want, you know, but I need you to save me. You know, he is very much that old Oswald that we know. He's not the confident, I rule the underworld Cobblepot. So, you know, he's back in that character that he's comfortable being in. And that's very Danny Cannon, to take him back to that old Cobblepot. And, you know, I guess that he falls back into that because that is, that's his default setting, I guess. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not in charge, that's where he goes. Is, you know, I got to go to James because I have to rat on this guy or else I'm not going to survive. And so there's that. We get that thing. We get James and Jerome talking on the roof, which was I found that an incredibly enlightening conversation between the two of them.
Oh, my goodness. You know, this whole episode, Jerome is really, we've seen kind of bits and pieces. We've kind of been like the people working with him. We've seen bits and pieces of his plan, but he's really laying it out. He's laying it out to these city heads that he is kidnapping. He's laying it out to Jim that, you know, he is there to bring some humor and some, you know, wackiness and some anarchy to this city. And he knows that he's not going to be, around long term. The speech that he gives Jim to say that, you know, listen, I'm going to outlast you because I'm an idea. You know, I'm going to live in the shadows. And I just loved it because it pushed that cult of the Joker that we've seen scattered since his first introduction. And I just loved that conversation of, okay, he had already planned. He had planned everything out. So, you know, this section of his plan wasn't going according to plan, but he still knew what was coming for his brother, and he was okay with that. So I just, yeah, you talked about the insights to really his character of he's having a good time. He's wanting to really push his brother over the edge to take over for him. And I just like that insight to him, and it gave us so much of what's been going on in his head in this short little, you know, couple, you know, scenes. It was really good.
Yeah. And I feel like he thought maybe he had gone too crazy to handle things, or he was way over the edge. Like maybe he couldn't handle it anymore. Like I can only set up a few more things. I can't do this anymore. So I can hand this down. My brother is just as crazy as me. And here's what I can do. I can ruin him. I can make him like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also, I am an idea that the city is crazy, right? Like, I think he thought that he was this idea.
Right, exactly. I mean,
I can put the idea in my brother and he can carry it on, then I've won.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and of course, we see that coming to fruition a bit at the end of the episode where he passes it down, quote unquote, to his brother through the virus in the Jack in the Box. I mean, that's just, I mean, how jokery can you get?
Yeah. I mean, I loved it because hearing his voice doing really the Heath Ledger Joker there, and just saying, you know, listen, I'm, you know, freeing you. So sit back and, you know, enjoy the ride and come into it. And then, so he's been pulling these aspects of different Jokers and we've talked about, and the look that he gave, I mean, his brother had really reminded me of the 60s era Joker. And so we're seeing all this stuff being passed on. And like I said, I agree. I think he realizes that he could only go so far. And, you know, he's seen who his brother is and in the intelligence there. And, you know, it might not be the same type of madness that he would bring to Gotham, but it would be a madness that he would appreciate. So he's going to free his brother up. And that's what he was. I mean, his whole aim was to loosen Gotham up a little bit and, you know, let them give in to this madness. So yeah, we just got to see a lot of insight into who he was as a character in this episode.
Yeah. And we knew who he was, but this episode really, it pushed us over the edge into like seeing his whole mindset.
Yeah.
And, then having him jump off the roof, we saw that he didn't care. As long as he made that, and pardon the pun, impact on the city, he was okay.
Yeah.
He didn't care as long as he knew that his brother was going to get that package. He was, of course, assuming that the blimp was still going to deliver its package.
Right.
But that didn't happen because of Oswald. I love how they were like, Oswald, the city thanks you.
Yeah.
And then we never
You hear Jim say, Oswald Cobblepot, and you're like, you expect him to say, you're under arrest. But
right,
you hear him say, the city thanks you.
Yeah, I know. And then we don't see what happens, which is funny in itself,
yeah.
Right? Because I'm sure they're saving him, but you know.
Yeah, you know, it's fun, though. You know,
like
Harvey says, leave him up there to stew for a couple more hours.
Yeah, exactly. Just drive it around for a little bit. So great.
But I loved, you know, during this Unity concert, he's calling out, he's giving the ultimatum, you know.
I like that we're calling it a Unity concert.
Yeah. Anyway, but he calls that he wants his brother. He wants Bruce. And we come back to the concert and they're playing the 60s Batman theme.
I know.
I'm just like, you know, they're just doing the line there. And at the very end, before he cuts them off, they bring in the dun, dun, and you're like, yes.
I know. It was great. I mean, that's oh, what is his name? The guy that does the music for this show.
Oh,
I can't remember his name,
yeah.
But he's great.
Yeah.
At the music for the show. He's always putting things in.
Those subtle little cues. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot about this episode that, you know, it was really cool. Those little tie-ins and, you know, he's just loving it up there on center stage. He's talking to the TV. He's talking to the audience. He's playing everything up. The people that he has up there, they're just pawns in his game. He doesn't really care. You know, they're either going to lose their head or they're going to get gassed anyway. But he was just playing it all. And so on top of everything. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the fact of, you know, he's confident enough in Scarecrow and in Mr. Freeze that they can mass produce the, you know, go to Wayne Labs there and get the stuff produced. And I love, you know, it's just crazy laughs there too, because you've got a freeze grenade that Freeze brings in.
I know.
And then, you know, you get Harvey shows up and the people have been dosed with the gas and they're half frozen. It's you know, almost out of the wacky comic book error, but it still makes sense within the show because of the villains that we have, and it makes sense within the world. So it's very cool that way.
It is very cool. And I didn't even notice the lighting or any of that stuff in this episode. I didn't have time to go back and look at stuff like that, but I'm sure that it was because the direction was good. I mean, the direction was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I didn't have time to go back and see if there was any allusion to anything in any of these scenes.
Right.
I'm sure it was. You know, like last week with the end sign,
yeah,
and all that. Nothing like jumped out at me, but I'm sure there are some.
Yeah.
The composer's name is Graham Revell. Revell, R-E-V-E-L-L.
Okay.
He's the music guy for,
yeah,
the show. Anyway, you gave your rating, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, and Jerome is just, I'm going to miss him.
I am, but, you know, the interesting thing is Cameron was talking on Twitter about that he had a lot of fun, you know, playing Jerome. And, yeah, we're going to miss him. But he was just talking in a tweet today about how over the next couple episodes, and it sounds like he was saying the last three episodes. So, you know, looking at next week, at the synopsis, it doesn't look like Jeremiah's going to be in there. but it sounds like he's going to be in there the last three. But he was saying about just the depth and the difference and, you know, the challenges of playing that different spin on the Joker. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to do, because we've seen this progression of his character and, you know, the whole face-off thing and what he's done. And now we're going to see a different take, you know, from this very reserved and planning guy who's thinking things out, and he's been pushed over the edge into madness. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with that character.
What kind of nuances we're going to get from this?
Right. Yeah. Because I think I think he's, you know, he's put all these, you know, different viewpoints of the Joker into Jerome. And so it's going to be interesting to see a less crazy and a maybe a slower progression. And so
calculating.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him stepping up to that challenge.
I agree. It's always a difficult thing when an actor takes on two different roles.
Right.
In a show. So I want to, especially when it's such an iconic role.
Mm-hmm.
As like the Joker or Batman or something like that. Now, in this case, he's going to play the Joker and the Joker. So what is he going to do with that? And that is the big question here. And again, I mean, I really think he can do it, because from what we've seen, I mean, he's played Jerome, just a normal, crazy kid.
Yeah.
And then it's moved up into this ramping, you know, just way stratospheric craziness.
Right.
Ramped up to this Joker character, Joker, like to the extreme. And now we're going to ramp it back down a little bit, maybe more calculating, maybe more chilling, maybe more horror kind of Joker. And that is something to look forward to.
Right. And, you know, we obviously don't know yet, but is he going to have moments of clarity where he's fighting it? We just don't know.
We don't.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. So
maybe at the beginning. Yeah. And I totally forgot about this Ra's al Ghul thing this week.
Yeah. So I thought it was very cool, because we get to see a progression of Barbara, because she has really embraced this. She doesn't understand it all. She comes in at first and she's using these ladies of the Legion, as I like to call them, as her personal bodyguards. And they're like, there's more to it than this. Aren't you going to do more? And they take her to that door so that she can open it, literally to let her open the door to her future.
Yeah.
But
to more opportunities, I guess.
But she's dressed in this black and red. The opening in the top is almost like an arrowhead, the styled back hair. So she's starting to embrace this, the shadows, and it was so interesting, because we get some history that Ra's has had this house since Gotham was in existence, and that, you know, nobody's been in this door because they can't open it. She opens it and you see all these artifacts and different things from different eras, and the look on Barbara's face when she sees that painting was amazing.
I agree.
The acting there, like her eye was like quivering while she was crying. I'm just like,
no.
She was amazing.
What could she have been thinking of?
Well, I mean, she and the dialogue, once again, I've felt like my whole life that there was something more. And she sees this painting which is basically her and Roz
right.
from like 400 years ago.
Yeah.
And she's saying, okay, I'm a part of a destiny. It's not just me trying to find my place in the world. And so she's immediately stepping into this calling and she's diving in and looking at the books and she's excited about it all. And Tabitha's like adrift because yeah. she has no hold. She's got no ties. And she's like, what's going on here? And she's rebelling against
it. And no place in that mythos either.
Right, exactly.
So she's not necessary. And of course, they don't want her there.
Right.
Because she's a tether to a world that they don't want.
Exactly.
Barbara.
Yeah, she's an anchor that's holding, you know, Barbara back.
Right. And if they could get Barbara away from Gotham, then all the better. So yeah. Tabitha is a link, you know, that's holding her there. So if they can get Tabby out of the way, then great. But of course, who comes rushing in, you know, to save Tabitha? The real League of Assassins. and that might be an interesting thing. Ra's isn't dead?
Yeah. Now tell me this. I looked at it the first time, and then when I see the guy's face in the side view mirror, I'm like, okay. And then I see him come and rescue Tabitha, mm-hmm. and he's sitting there talking. And then I watch it the second time, and I'm like, is that Alexander wearing makeup? I mean,
I thought the same thing. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not 100% sure, but it's enough so that it makes you question things like, right. you know.
And they may have just gotten an actor that looks so much
very
like him.
Like him, yeah.
Right. That you're like, okay.
So, I mean, you're going to have these two factions warring with each other.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Tabitha's going to go right there and say, you know what? Get away. Get away from her.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with this because, you've got this war between those two factions and I don't think it's going to go. I mean, Tabitha may work with the guys to try to get Barbara back, but I don't think it's going to go like she think it's going to go. But
They're not going to side with her forever.
No. Huh.
Once Barbara gets the girls are not going to win.
No.
Ra's always comes out on top.
Right.
So once Barbara gets separated, she's either going to go back to Gotham or she's going to go with Ra's. And then Tabitha is going to choose her side at that point.
Right.
With Barbara or not with Barbara.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how that's going to shake out, I'm guessing. But
yeah.
the ladies are not going to win.
No.
I mean, that's just, it's crazy town frolics because, Ra's wins always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just silliness. Okay. And I would have given this episode 9.5 instead of 9, except that Selena needed to stay more in the episode.
Yeah, I appreciated. You know, so she comes in time for the birthday cake. And let me just say, if you're going to do a birthday cake, I mean, Alfred can do me one of those pound cakes any day for my birthday.
Agreed.
I mean, that looked delicious. So, Selena comes in and she's there for him for Bruce without really acknowledging that that's why she's there for his birthday. And, you know, I mean, she could have dropped in, but I really think that, you know, it was, she knew, but,
yeah, maybe. I mean, but that she was just there for like 10 seconds and then bloop.
Yeah.
Off we go.
And I agree. I think, you know, it would have been, you know, when she heard that Bruce was going to go, you know, she agreed with Alfred and said, no, I agree with him for once, but, and then she was gone. And so, yeah, I agree that it would have been better if she had stuck around.
Right.
But,
or been in it again somewhere.
Right.
You know, they got home or something, or she saw the car, or I don't know, just somewhere else in the episode.
But
because it seemed like she just was just stuck in and.
But I once again, Cannon, I appreciated the dialogue that he gave her in that short scene because she was talking about how she really didn't think that you know, the Playboy lifestyle, you know, all those things that he went through wasn't really him. And Bruce was smart enough to say, well, you're more convinced of it than I was. So, I appreciate when, you know, granted it was a little too short, but when you've got somebody like Danny coming in to write, even those little things punch. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's a 9 still for me. So it's in character always, but please more. I want more Bruce and Selena. That's my ship, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want a ship for Gotham. I don't want it. I really don't. But if those two crazy kids could get together, I'd be all for it because I really think that they would be cute together.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like for a little bit and then they broke up, you know, I'd be all right with
that.
Yeah. Bruce needs some lovin's. am I missing anything?
I mean, we just kind of rambled all over. I mean, we just didn't go point by point. But yeah, I mean, it was an excellent episode. I think the acting really shined. You know, we kind of looking at the promo images, we kind of, and thinking about last week, we kind of knew where we were going with Jeremiah taking over, but the ride was a ton of fun.
Oh, so great. Yeah. It was fresh. You know, it's not like it shocked me 100% or anything, but it was enough that I sat there on the edge of my seat through the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. And it's good that they can do that they can, you know, show me pictures and give me enough information that I kind of get where it's going, but I'm still really happy and surprised with how it turned out. Yeah. So, yeah, good job, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So shall we go with feedback? Thank you. And I was telling Jeff before we started that my husband and I went to the Sewanee Town Hall today, which looks like the superhero, what is it? The
Hall of Justice.
Yeah, and we got some pictures taken in front of it, so makes me happy that we took some. So Chris says, hey guys. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Like that Jerome used so serious twice in that opening scene. Yeah, he did. I like that too. Penguin's description of Jerome not being interested in money sounds just like it could have been the speech in The Dark Knight about some men just wanting to watch the world burn.
Indeed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And this lady, whoever she is. Yeah, I like that line too. It was great. Haven't seen throwing stars in a while. Well, you know, when you get the League of Assassins, you're going to be a throwing star. Jerome wins. Fatality. I know it can't last, but Bruce and Selena are so darn cute together. Mm-hmm. I agree, Chris. More. I enjoyed the fact that while Jim was trying to recruit Bruce, Selena is just casually eating her cake in the background. Rachel Ghoul's vault is so secure that only Barbara and Danny Rand can get in there. Yes, I liked Iron Fist. Sue me. You know what, Chris? I liked it too.
Yeah, I
am not ashamed.
Yeah, I enjoy it. You know, out of all of them, I enjoyed that one. And some people were a little down on it, but I liked it. So, yeah.
I did too. Yeah. That fight scene where the guy was holding a pot through the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Okay. Jerome's band is an improvement over the first band. I'll give them that. Okay. Yes, I agree with that too. They were Mouse Rat. You guys are right. Crane looks awesome. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
More of the Scarecrow. I'm not sure how, but I don't see how Barbara isn't eventually sent crashing back down to Earth, and it won't be pretty when it happens.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I agree. Why in the world would a pilot of a blimp have a dirty, hairy hand cannon? Well, because I think Jerome gave it to him.
Yeah, they were he was equipped.
Anyone else reminded of the end of Batman 89 with Jerome's end?
Mm.
Yeah, a little bit. Fall from grace, right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently death being an illusion doesn't apply to Mr. Al Ghul. Now we need to get Echo to get gassed and start calling Jeremiah Mr. J and Puddin'. I hope it's okay that I put the accent on there, Chris.
Yeah.
And now it's time for my imitation of a broken record. Jerome gets the Batmobile keys once again, but every other character can relax knowing that he probably isn't going to win another. Fun episode this week. I'll give it 9.5 out of 10 proto Batmobiles. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Chris. Great feedback as usual.
Yeah, indeed. And now we have a report from our green butterfly.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Oh my goodness, this is a mad, mad city. It's madder than a hatter over here. I don't have a lot of faith in this new mayor. He doesn't look like he can handle it. We need somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger size, possibly driving a tank. Then maybe they can handle what's going on in Gotham. Speaking of cool vehicles, Bruce got a Batmobile for his birthday. That was super cool. Last episode when Harvey asked, what if this Jeremiah is as crazy as the other one? Maybe I'm watching too much Timeless with its sleeper agents, but I got to thinking, what if he's right? What if Jeremiah's just playing and at the last moment will turn to Jerome's side? So much blowing up and gun violence. I kept my eyes closed for a good amount of this episode. Quote of the week comes from Harvey. I was going to say I won $100 on a scratch-off ticket, and perhaps we can go to the racetrack, but we can go do your thing first. This episode gets 8 out of 10 interrupted birthday parties. Catch you next week, Gotham. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
You too, Justina.
Thank you, Justina.
I like that she has to watch it like through her fingers sometimes. I can't imagine. So cute.
Yeah,
I love Harvey's lines always. Yeah, in every episode.
And he's like on the walkie-talkie with Jim. Are you seeing this? I can take it down. And he's like, and spread the chemicals all over. Oh yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's got the thing trained on it, like he's gonna pull the trigger any second. And then he goes, Oh yeah.
Oh,
because of course James thinks things through.
Exactly. Well, if you want to be like those good folks, take a listen to John and you can hear how you can do that.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
That's right. Leave us 5-star reviews or we'll send you jokers in the boxes. And you don't want that.
No.
Yeah, so let's talk about next week's episode.
Yes, indeed. It's A Dark Knight, To Our Deaths and Beyond. And I'm sorry, I read that title and I'm hearing that as Buzz Lightyear in my head.
Me too! To Our Deaths and Beyond! That's exactly the same voice I heard it in. Anything with and beyond in it.
Yeah, exactly. And but it's going to be a little darker. Than Toy Story. I think so.
Yeah. So look, death in it.
Yeah. So, a little dumb. Yeah. So it goes as follows. Gordon and Bullock try to figure out who the clever thief is behind the robberies of various bank branches in Gotham. Meanwhile, Barbara is put into danger, forcing Tabitha to recruit help in the all new A Dark Knight, To Our Deaths and Beyond episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Mm. Yes, and we've got the images just came up as we're recording today on Friday, and so they're up in the Facebook group. because they were holding off a little bit on those. So those are up. So take a look.
Seen them yet?
Yeah.
To go look at them. Yeah. I wonder who the clever thief is.
I have questions about that.
I want clever thief. Would that be Selena? I guess we'll find out next week.
Yes.
So you guys will tune in next week and find out along with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give our grades and you guys can give your feedback. And we'll talk about Tour This and Beyond.
Yeah. And like we talked about last week, you've got your Cougars Comic Corner in the blog post. So
that is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it is the Batman series thing.
Yeah, the No Man's Land.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember. Okay. yes. Yeah, so Batman, No Man's Land.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a little write-up. It will be in the blog post for you guys, and hopefully you guys will want to read it.
Indeed.
So check that out in the blog post. I'll put it also in the Facebook group. So
cool.
Yay.
Yay.
And I gave you a little present, didn't I?
You did. You did.
But we're not talking about that.
Mm.
Yeah. Jeff got something special. All right. So we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.